Welcome back to the 801. This is going to be a bonus little mini-sode for the holidays that is specifically about Charles and my trip to Singapore to see Baozi and Hana for Anime Fest Asia.
Yes. Oh my God. I've been a big Baozi and Hana fan for at least 3 years, at maybe close to 5 years.
So it was the summer of 2016 when you sent me their stuff, because I remember seeing their Mako Haru. And then, because I remember when they cosplayed Yuri on Ice, right when it was starting, after it had simulcast for like a couple of, it was like maybe by the second month it was out, they had picked it up, and I was so excited. Like, I pretty much like died and like melted in my office chair. Because I was so happy. So it was pre Yuri on Ice days, which tells you it was pre fall of 2016.
Yeah. And I've been following them for a little while, I think, before that too.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm a big fan, long time fan. But they've been cosplaying since before 2013. I think 2013 was their first year at Anime Fest Asia.
Which they were Singapore. Absolute babies at that point.
Like, yes. I mean, they met cosplaying.
Yes. They're just,
sweet babies. I love them so much. So, we flew 22 hours to Singapore to go to an anime convention to see them.
Yes. So the long story is
it's the weebest thing I've ever done personally.
I think we earned a merit badge here, definitely. It's up there with the pilgrimage for things to go see a place from an anime. So for years, we've kind of been seeing them go, especially the year that they went like everywhere. They went to Australia. Mm-hmm. They've been to like Taiwan. They've been to Singapore. They did a Japan fan meet. They went to Spain.
Germany,
Mexico, and Canada. And 2 years ago, we almost went to Canada because they announced they were going. We only had like 3 weeks to plan. It was right before A-Fest.
Yeah.
And it was going to be like close to $1,000 for the whole trip. And it's like, that feels wrong just going to Canada. Like, the flights were very expensive because it was in the middle of nowhere, but also seemed like, okay. But it was like right before they had the Yuri on Ice guest at A-Fest. And I was like, you know what? I just don't have the extra time or money or like heartache in my life right now.
Yeah.
So we missed out. And we thought, okay, if they ever come back to Canada, well.
And they're going to come to the U.S. They said they wanted to come to the U.S. And we've been trying to lobby our local cons to get them.
Like, people who are in cons, like, I know enough people who are like, yeah, we'd like to have them, but it just never seemed to materialize. So we always joked, like, well, I guess we'll just have to, like, if we're picking, like, we'll go to, like, either Singapore or, like, Taiwan. Because Australia seemed too far. We didn't want to go to Guadalajara. You can't count on the other cons, because the other ones were not ones that they were going to regularly. These were the regular appearances. And we have a club member who's Taiwanese, so it was like, okay, well, Taiwan would be fun to go to.
And they have a fan meeting there. It's not just a con. It's like their personal fan meeting. But it wouldn't be in English. We'd have to have, you know, an interpreter and all this stuff. And so, and like, I don't think it was last year. I think it was 2 years ago. They traveled so many weekends that year. They went to Vietnam. They went to Mexico. And like 2 weekends later, they're in Canada. Or they might have gone straight from Mexico to Canada or the other way around. They went to Australia. They're traveling so much. The next year, they didn't do as much. And then this year, they announced, we're taking a break from cosplay. And AFASG, the Anime Fest Asia Singapore, which is their sort of home con, even though they're not in Singapore, it is their home con because it's the one they go to all the time, is going to be their last cosplay appearance. And
so this was what, like early to mid-October?
It was not long ago.
It was basically, we planned a trip to Singapore within a month. Because I remember the day that Charles messaged me, because I woke up that morning and it was like, do you want to go to Singapore for Baozi and Hana? And I thought about it for all of like a day. I basically needed to go to work, check how many days off I had that I could fit it in. Because when I saw the flights online, I was like, okay, financially, this is doable. Also, bucket list trip. Let's make it happen. It's their last con. There's no putzing around here.
It was Thanksgiving weekend. So they just have some sort of program time off in their Singapore. Everything's going to be in English for the most part. So it will be easy as far as understanding wise. It wouldn't be like Taiwan, where we would really need somebody to go with us to help us understand what was happening.
Seemed incredibly doable. We reached out to the Singapore fan club and they basically assured us that, you know, it would be easy for us to pretty much go, because if you think about going to like a foreign anime convention, it's like, oh, you just don't know what you're getting into. But all signs were saying go. So we went.
Yes, we did.
22 hours on a flight. I will say, this is probably the I didn't realize how far Singapore was. Like, in my mind, I was like, oh, it's just kind of vaguely Southeast Asia. And then I was like, oh, shit, it's, like, on the equator.
And, oh, man, yeah. When I looked up how, like, what the weather was going to be like and then looked up at a map and really zoomed in on the map to figure out what's going on. Yeah. Yeah, it's on the equator. Just, yeah, it's, like, I was looking up, 90 degrees. I was like, can I get south of the equator Pokemon or not? For Pokemon Go? The answer is no. But I did get some of those Eastern Hemisphere things. But yeah, the Baozi and Hana Singapore fan club translates all of their stuff that's in Chinese to English for post like social media posts. And so we messaged them and they were super helpful. And so we got to Singapore just past midnight on the first day of the con.
Yep.
Slept for 4 or 5 hours, maybe four, and walked over across the street to the con. We got a hotel right across the street, which was nice, basically right across the street, just a couple blocks away. Mm-hmm. And it was really easy to get in there and do our thing and see Baozi and Hana. Way easier, I think, than I expected, probably.
Yeah. So, like, having been to quite a few American conventions, all the way from our local Anime Fest to Anime Expo, I was going into this like, this is going to be tough. Like, when you see your guests, you know, okay, you may have to sacrifice going to Q&A to see, or pictures to do autograph. Or you're going to be in line for 3 hours and you need to, like, figure out, do they align to form a line? Do you have to get a ticket? You have to do all this. Like, we have had absolute heartbreak. Anime Fest 2017, the Yuri and Ice incident. We do not like to talk about it, but, like, that's the worst it can go. I've had to do AX where you had to, like, do a ticket online and sign up. But this was not a con where I felt like I could, like, I had no connections. So there was no way to weasel anything in. We didn't know what we were going into, but it was so incredibly easy in that every rule that I know from American conventions was absolutely thrown out the door, including how you even get into the con.
Yeah. And I mean, when we've been to Comic-Con too. Yeah. And so we're, it was, I guess, slightly closer to Comic-Con, where Comic-Con is line after line after line after line to get into the main hall where there's just exhibitor, like, and it's just booths of people selling their own stuff. Yeah. It was slightly closer to that in that you waited in line and you got in. There were no panels. Even the guests were just on a stage that was sort of in the middle of everything that anybody could walk by and listen to and see.
Get relatively close to people, because I feel like at Comic-Con, like, part of the appeal is that you could meet a mangaka, and it's just like this thing that you wouldn't expect, whereas, like, at a US convention, that manga artist would be a guest and it'd be highly restricted. Here it felt a little bit more like personal, kind of like it does at Comic-Con.
And I had Googled beforehand, like, how big of a convention is it? And on their website, it said that the number of attendees for the Singapore event in 2018 was 105,000. Okay, so we were like, okay, this it's going, like, to be Comic-Con. It's going to be huge. And so we were able to get tickets, a pre-register online for tickets, which was really nice.
But,
and,
like, only a week or two beforehand.
Yeah, this we thought we, like, weren't going to be able to.
Might have missed it,
because there were, there's a big part of it is the concerts. They have these Japanese artists that come and do concerts. So you can do exhibition and concert, or you can do it without concert. And we were thinking we weren't going to be able to buy it without concert beforehand, but it actually did go on sale, like, the day that we checked.
Yeah. The 14th. We were just about to finally.
Yeah. Like, literally, actually, it was 2 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
So then.
Which is very different from the US, because pre-reg is, like, 9 months in advance. Mm-hmm. And if you miss it, then tough beans, you're standing in line for 8 hours at the door for a $300 ticket.
Yeah. So, and then when we brought our printouts to redeem for wristbands, you get a wristband to get in.
Yes.
People couldn't tell us where to go. Like, we got the conflicting information.
Three different, because they thought we bought the concert, because I guess most people who pre-reg buy concert, not just, because we bought a special ticket that was exhibition and stage, because we wanted to see stage. Given that everything was in the same room, it really didn't seem to matter what kind of ticket we bought.
Yeah, we could have gotten probably exhibition only, because we didn't, I guess the stage that it was talking about was in a different room that we never went to, because Baozi and Hana were on the stage that was in the main hall.
I think I know what other stage you were talking about. It was probably for the other, like, the Japanese Seiyu.
Uh-huh.
That's what it was. Now that I'm thinking about it. Okay.
So, yeah. So, finally, we found the right place to get our tickets. We did not have to wait in a very long line at all. Mm-hmm. And once we got in the hall, which that wasn't a horrible line either.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not for the most part. It was very chill. The whole thing is very relaxed.
Yeah. Nobody really seemed to, like, get mad if you did anything. Like, especially talking about the queues. Like, we could easily save spots for one another when somebody went to the bathroom or to get water. Mm-hmm. At one point there was like two whole people's purses behind me in line, and those people weren't there and nobody knew where they were, but they came back, claimed their stuff, claimed their spot, and literally nobody said anything to them. Cause I was mm-hmm. like, well, if y'all weren't, if like one person wasn't staying to save a spot for them, they're like, actually that's kind of like, that is kind of bad, mm-hmm. you know? But I guess they also felt comfortable to just leave their stuff. Cause like, I could have jacked your purse. Like yeah. in America, you think about these things like somebody's going to steal my stuff, or they need to aggressively check my bag to make sure there's not a gun, instead of vaguely looking in the direction of my purse.
Yeah, there was a bag check, but not really. Yeah, so, like, but I mean, but like we said, so in Singapore, you know, the one of the things that's banned to bring in the country is gum. So in America, yeah. they're checking your bag for a gun, G-U-N. In Singapore, they're checking your bags for gum, G-U-M.
Yes.
And that's basically yeah. the worst thing you could take in there. So anyway, as safe as Singapore is, the convention was also very safe. Yes. And so we immediately found the Flower Nose booth mm-hmm. and went over there and basked in its glory. And then we got in line, or we bought some to buy stuff.
Yeah, because you had pre-ordered some stuff. Mm-hmm. Because if you did a pre-order, you got like a bonus item or more chances to do kind of like the lucky draw. Mm-hmm. And then you basically when you bought stuff that day, you got a photo ticket. So the only way to get a photo with them was to get the photo ticket. So every day you had to come back and buy something new to get that day's photo ticket.
Yeah. And we didn't know quite what the photo ticket was. Like I thought they were going to be posing on a stage and it was to be able to take a photo of them.
Yeah.
But no, it was selfie time.
Yes. You got individual selfies, which I was a little bit surprised about because yeah. again, coming from the US thing, like if you're with an English voice actor, when you do the autograph, they may or may not take photos with you depending on how it's going to hold up the line. Japanese guests, 9 times out of 10, no photos. You're lucky if you see them like their whole face and they're not covered in like a hat, sunglasses, and like a burqa, because they don't want to be seen in public. So it was like refreshing that you could do that. I personally enjoyed that they were allowing only selfie angle. That is my best angle. So yeah. they were already optimized for my best photo. So yeah. I would look at it and go, oh, I'm a potato next to these queens, you know?
But, oh, they're just so sweet. And so we got photos and autographs the first yes. day.
And copious amounts of official and fan-made merchandise.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. The fans were awesome. And so a lot of them, it wasn't their first time. Like, it was our first time. And they had yeah. come from a little bit closer, not quite so far away. And they had made fan-made merch that they were just handing out to other yeah. people in line. And we got to talk to some people about mm-hmm. coming there. And everybody's just a huge, ginormous fan of them. And it was yes. really nice.
Yeah.
Everybody's there for the same thing.
And, yeah, it felt yeah. very much like kind of a community. And I guess because it was so easy to get, like, the autograph and the photo, like, it didn't feel like we were competing with each other. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes even when you're in line for the same thing at, like, an American con, especially having done like the Yuri on Ice thing at Anime Fest, like it was like we're all here, but then once you realize that not everybody may get an autograph, you start to turn on each other. Like, you're sitting there like, man, she better not get to go, because I'm like, you start to judge yourself as a fan. And mm-hmm. here it felt very much more like we were just there to support them, and it wasn't like I'm gonna have to like kill this person to get an autograph.
Yeah. And it was a lot more up close and personal. Like, it wasn't, we didn't get to sit around and chit chat with them, but they had a product exhibition at their booth 2 of the days. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you were just right in front of them looking at them. You could ask them questions. And the second day they even did sort of demos. Like, somebody yes. said, well, what do you think I should wear? And then they were like, well, come over here. And they put it on them. Yeah. So
that was the time that I did feel like, for me as a fan, I wanted to keep a little bit of distance just professionally and mm-hmm. to be nice. Like, yeah. I don't want to crowd you and get you claustrophobic in this booth.
Right.
Other fans who were not us had different opinions about what is close. And, like, you could feel that people started to kind of encroach in. And I was like, again, in an American convention, there would have been a handler who told you to stay back. Like, we wouldn't have gained this much access. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I limited myself, but not in a bad way, because I did not want to, I don't want to get up all in their grill. Like,
right.
It was already aggressively American enough. I did not need to be more American.
Yeah, so on the first day, they had a stage time, and they asked for questions. And they speak Chinese. And they speak some English, but they are not confident about their English. And so they said question time, and nobody raised their hands, including yeah. me, who had pre-thought out questions that yeah, I really wanted to ask.
I don't even have a question. And then I raised my
hand. And so finally Melissa raises her hand, and they call on her. And what was your question?
So the initial question was, why haven't you come to America? But they didn't hear the why part. They were like, what? And they were like, why? What? How? I was like, just America.
Yeah. Come to America.
So they asked them, like, basically, when will you come to America? Which is probably a little bit softer of a question. Because basically, I was trying to get at, like, you know, hey, we really wanted you to come to America. Mm-hmm. Like, was there anything, like, is there some reason that you can't come that, you know, you can share with us? Or do you think you want to go there? And so they basically, they told us, which sometimes they didn't translate. So it was difficult if they were speaking in Mandarin and then the translator wasn't translating it, mm-hmm. because all of the audience pretty much spoke and understood Mandarin. Mm-hmm. So they responded and everybody was like, "Aww," and then I kind of sat there and I was like, what did they say? So some girl next to me very nicely was like, oh, they said, we will come to America when we get married.
Yeah. So then the follow-up question, of course, is, when are you getting married? But
you didn't get to ask that because...
No. So they ended up only taking 3 questions. And I don't remember what the next one even was. But so then all of a sudden they were done with questions. We're like, oh, no. Yeah, and then the second day they didn't take questions because the convention, because it's their last hurrah and that was their home con. Mm-hmm. They've been there every year. I think they even used to have that con twice a year in Singapore, maybe.
Well, I think that there's there's like a smaller event that they go to as well, like just a cosplay thing.
Oh, okay.
So it was not just that convention proper. It was the other convention as associated
gotcha.
Events that they've been to.
So the con had made a montage of all the costumes mm-hmm. that they've worn through the years at that convention, which they showed was super sweet, and Bowsy immediately burst into tears, poor baby.
Yes.
They were like dabbing his eyes. We're like, I was like, oh my god, is he crying?
Yeah. Hana was so cute because he would always fuss over Bowsy and like touch up his makeup like and everything. And just make sure it wasn't, like, you know, shiny or something.
Yeah.
Which was, like, every 2 seconds. It's like, take a photo, touch up your face.
Right.
Take a photo, touch up your face.
Yeah, the first day they were clearly hot. Yes. And, I mean, it's Singapore, it's hot and humid, but...
And the costumes were definitely not cotton.
Yes. Their first day they wore a Hanfu, like, a traditional Chinese costume. The second day they were Mako and Haru in their sailor captain outfits, I guess.
My number 2 favorite Mako Haru outfit of all time.
And the third day they were Lanzhan and Wei Wuxian. Yiling Laozi,
which was the bigger day. Which so in America, you know, you go to a con and it's Sunday at 3:00, and there's like 3 people left, mm-hmm. and they're all in Artist Alley trying to get deals. Sunday at 3 was as packed as it was Sunday at like 10 when it opened, I guess. And Sunday was probably the bigger day for them because it was the Mo Dao Zu Shi outfits.
Yeah, I guess that's why, because it was definitely the more crowded day. We had to wait in a lot longer lines to get our photo taken and autographs.
But we still got in, even though, like, some days we were, like, first in line, and some days we were middle, and some days we were, like, what I thought was maybe 2/3 or 3/4 of the way, but mm-hmm. we still got everything.
Oh, yeah. And on that third day, even though they had run over time, because they had a 30-minute break between photos and autograph session mm-hmm. that day, and every day, I guess, they made sure they took a photo with every single person in line, like, mm-hmm. every person. So they didn't really get a break that day very much. But they did it, and they were on that last day. They gave everybody a little hug and said thank you for coming. It was so sweet. And Melissa was like, make sure you come to America.
I know. I did not want to be harping on the, like, it's not really because it's like America is that great, like, come because my country's the best. Mm-hmm. More so of like, I need you to understand what my butt went through sitting in that seat for 22 hours, and that it took me a fucking long time to get here, because they said that one of the reasons they hadn't come is it's so far. Yeah. And I'm like,
that's true.
That is very true. Please, also, as I told Hana on Instagram, there are a lot of Sephoras, so you really should come because you could go to like a million different Sephoras.
Yeah, he loves Sephoras. My question was going to, which I ended up being too shy to ask, was going to be, when you come to America, besides go to Sephora, what do you want to do? What do you want to experience? And one of my comments that I wrote, I said, you can go to a different Sephora every day. So we both brought them a gift.
Yeah.
And so on the first day, we didn't know how bad it was going to be getting our badges. So we thought maybe we would go get our badges and then go back to the hotel and then go back again. But we didn't end up doing that. And so I didn't bring my gift with me because my gift was like a 12x12x12 box.
So I had just drawn this like little picture and just wrote a note because there was nothing I could get them that wasn't in the box got anyway.
I'm very embarrassed about how big my package was because I couldn't find, because I was like, God, what am I going to do? Am I going to wrap it? What am I going to do? At first I thought maybe I would get like a sweater box or whatever that you pack clothes in to wrap for Christmas, but the wrapping paper, it wouldn't have traveled well and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was at Target and I was like, well, they had this really pretty box. And so Hana hates green. And so I was trying to find blue because that's his favorite color. And so I found a red box though that was really pretty, but it was so large. And however, there was enough stuff in the box that I didn't even have to put any like packing stuff in it.
It filled everything up.
But it was because of chips. It was because they're bags.
20 pounds.
No, it wasn't. It's because there were bags of chips that have a lot of air in them. Yes. And if there wasn't enough space, I would have, you know, yeeted some of them out.
Yeah.
So I would have weeded a little bit of stuff out. But it was makeup and snacks for the most part, and some Yankee candles because Hannah said he loves this particular Yankee candle, which that might have been a sponsored video, but I hope it wasn't because I got him that candle. So
find out that he like secretly hates it later or something.
I put a lot of thought into it, but I felt so weird carrying this ginormous box. Nobody else had a ginormous box they were trying to give people.
We could not see if anybody else really gave gifts either.
Yeah, so. I think some people had, like, you probably had a card size gift or something like that. And we asked a girl that was there, when can we give them gifts? And they said autograph session. So sure. Which was at their booth. And so I ran back to the hotel and got it while Melissa was still in line. And I felt like I was carrying like a bomb. It was just so big. And people were side-eyeing me like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, why are you carrying this big, giant-ass red box with a big gold ribbon on it? Like, what is this?
Very auspicious bomb.
Yeah, exactly. It was vermilion red with gold around it. And anyway, I'm just happy they accepted it. Because they could have been like, what is that?
You should have put like a little sticker on the makeup so you'll know in a video if he's using ears.
No, that's fine. But, so yes, so I hope they like that stuff and it made it home okay with them. Because their attendants took it away immediately. Their employees.
Yeah, they like bagged it up like as soon as we delivered it.
Like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
I know, I'm sorry, it's so big. I'm sorry, it's so big. That's what I said. I said, I'm sorry, it's so big.
It's American size.
But yeah, on the last day, when they were signing the autographs, I wanted to ask because, okay, so when I lived in Japan, I learned the Japanese program. Japanese people are programmed a certain response to a certain question. It turns out Chinese people are too, which is in English class, they learn that when someone says, how are you? The response must be all in one breath. I'm fine, thank you, and you? Just like that. I'm fine, thank you, and you? And so there was one of my favorite videos of theirs. They're in Germany and they're talking about some makeup they just bought at Sephora. And they're like, oh, that's a bitchy lipstick shade. And Hannah says to Bowsy, bitch. Who are you, bitch? And Bowsy says, I'm fine, thank you. And you? And it's my favorite thing ever. And I made it into my ringtone for a long time. And I still have it. And so I asked them, so how are you? And I was hoping that they would say, I'm fine, thank you. And you? But he didn't quite hear me. So he just said, oh, thanks. And then the person with him said, no, how are you? And then I said, are you hot? Because they had clearly been hot before. And Hannah goes, I'm tired. So sweet. And and Bowsy said, have a safe flight.
Yeah, they wished us a very safe flight. And I was like, that's so good. Of course.
So sweet. And this his face when he said it was so cute too.
Yeah.
So
if only it had worked on the turbulence.
Yeah, it ended up being safe, but it was a close call for a little bit. But 10 out of 10 would do again. Lived up to all my hopes and dreams.
Did what we came to do. Because we were actually in Singapore that long. Maybe like 5 days, which when you include the con, is not a lot of time given.
It was really, I tell people 5 days because I'm embarrassed. It was actually only 4 days.
It was 4 days, yeah. Because we flew out the fifth day.
It was 3 days of con and 1 day of everything else. Though we were able to work some stuff in after the con on the first, on day 2 and 3. And then we had day 4.
The first day we had jet lag, so we fell asleep for like 14 hours.
Yeah.
And then the second day we went and saw the cloud forest and
the flower dome,
which were refreshingly cool given how hot and humid it was, which if you ever go to Singapore, bring an electric fan, like a little handheld one. It will save your life.
Best $5 I ever spent.
Yeah. And then we did a night safari where we got to see my favorite animal, the flying fox. And some beautiful, beautiful cats. There was a sleeping leopard who had the cutest, biggest toe beans out on display. So they were...
Yeah, that was really fun.
Beautiful, beautiful beans. And lots of cool animals. And it's just fun to see. It was nice that they had the zoo open at night because we weren't probably going to be able to go during the day. Because, I mean, even though like we had gotten autographs on day one, we got photos. Like, you're going to see them in their different cosplays. And you want to be able to still meet them. And I'm glad that we'd gone all through Sunday, too, just to get the second autograph. Because we didn't go on Saturday for the autograph. But,
Sunday, I think, was probably the best day because they were much more relaxed on Sunday.
They seemed very happy.
Yeah.
Saturday was so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was good. So, I mean, knowing that we had come to do the con, like, it did take up a lot of other time, but it was still a good trip. I mean, the only real problem is that it is so hard to get to Singapore. It's so long of a flight.
Mm-hmm.
That even, like, going to, we flew through Japan. So that meant that the flight from Japan to Singapore was longer. It was, like, mm-hmm. 8 hours, seven yeah. or 8 hours. Going back, we flew through Hong Kong, which meant the flight from Singapore to Hong Kong was only 4, which is probably a better way to do it. But we did not want to get stuck in Hong Kong. Like, worst case scenario, given everything that's happening, you're only stuck somewhere when you're trying to get to an event that has a timetable.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the more painful, longer flight going yeah. there. But Singapore is very yeah. accessible, aside from once you get there.
Yeah, but the flight from Hong Kong to Dallas was 14 hours, but yeah. flying there would have been longer because yeah. it's longer going there. Uh-huh. So it ended up working yeah, out to be about the same.
There's really
no
way to get there without doing like a 22 or 24 hour like
yeah.
flight somehow.
It was a little rough.
Yeah. But it's easy to use the bus, easy to use the train.
Easy to use Grab.
Yeah, which is their version of like Uber or Lyft. There's signage in English. People speak English. So if you don't know Mandarin, which would be your other probably next best language, I guess Malay maybe if you're Malaysian. The food is delicious. There's so much to eat. Like, that's the problem, is like there was Singaporean food is good, Malaysian food is good, but then you've got also equally good like Japanese offerings, you got Filipino offerings, Korean stuff, Chinese food, lots Indian of different styles food. Of Chinese, Indian food, like everything you could ever want. Tell us about the bubble tea.
I'm a milk tea fanatic, and I made it my mission to drink 2 milk teas a day at least. So yeah, I did end up basically on the first day. Did we have 2 on the first day? Might have just had, no, I guess we did. But anyway, a lot of good milk teas. I think my favorite was from LiHo Tea, the Royal Oolong Milk Tea Latte.
Okay.
I'm really into oolong milk tea right now. That was very good. Tiger Sugar yeah. was good too. I still think I like Gongcha's dirty brown sugar milk tea better than Tiger Sugar's brown sugar milk tea, but they're kind of in the same vein.
Yeah, my yeah. favorite tea I had was a yuzu tea with like bits of the fruit in it, and then it had a sakura jelly from LiHo Tea,
mm-hmm.
and it was very refreshing because when it gets so hot like that, like I like milk teas, but the sugar content there will really kind of like weigh you down. And even if they're like here, I was not sure that they were making it with almond milk, and I'm incredibly lactose intolerant, so I didn't feel like even when I took my medicine, like the dairy was the right way for me to go, so try to stay to fruits. And then one of the other days when we went to a Hawker Center, I had a passion fruit, like pure passion fruit, like they grind up the fruit drink, kind of like a smoothie almost. Oh my gosh, it was like one of the best things I think I've ever had in my life. Like yeah. just absolutely hits the spot, refreshing, and doesn't like, not, it was like natural, so it's not like a super sugary drink that's going to like weigh you down. Oh my gosh, I dream about that.
Yeah, it was, everything we ate and drank was so good. So good.
Yes.
But the best part was Bausi and Hama.
Yes, they were, when before I left, somebody was like, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? I was like, I'm going to Singapore. They're like, really? What are you? And you're like, oh, you're going to go like sightseeing and see all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to see the sights. And their names are Bausi and Hama. And they just kind of looked at me and I was like, I have to show you these two beautiful people and how we're, and why we're going there. But I guess Singapore is very kind of like out of the way. And then when people found out like why we were going, it was kind of like, you don't say. I was like, listen, waited several years for this. This is my last chance. This is an absolute bucket list. And I'm so happy and have zero regrets that we
100% went. No regrets. Yeah. No, I told people I was going for sightseeing.
Yes.
And I told people I was going for 5 days because I told my dad that it was only going to be for 4 days. And he was so outraged that I was spending money and on those flights to go there for only 4 days when it was going to take basically 4 days to get there and back yeah. and only 4 days there.
Yeah.
That I'm never telling him anything again. So,
yeah. Well, when I told my yeah. parents, they were like, is she going alone? I was like, no, I'm going with my friend. Like, yeah. did you really think I would go alone to that? Like, the only reason I mean, it was very good. That I just don't think I would have gone if I just thought of it myself. I would have been like, oh, I don't have anybody to go with. Mm-hmm. It's very good to have a travel buddy for these last minute things.
Yes.
So.
And thank you to T-Mobile for having international service that I didn't have to pay extra for.
Yeah, that was so
helpful. Just especially to use Grab, which is their Uber mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have service for that.
Which the convention had free Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. which another it was good too. Yeah, is that everywhere in America? It's like we're gonna give you the password if you eat here, mm-hmm. or you have to do this, or at the convention you have to pay for Wi-Fi.
And... or there's so many people using the Wi-Fi that it completely it breaks.
Yeah, so it was very good.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So but... speaking of the convention, some of the other differences that we noticed. One of the big ones is that Artist Alley is completely inaccessible due to the number of people.
It was like a mosh pit times 10.
Yes, which it can happen like that at AX, so I'm told. Though mm-hmm. when I was there, I went early enough, I guess, that it wasn't. But like, you would get like three stalls in, and then the panic sets in that like, I'm going to die in this place.
Yeah.
And you have to like extrapolate yourself. And here in America, like if you bump into somebody, I feel like people still say sorry. Like even if you're in the north, people mm-hmm. are still going to like say something. Didn't really matter if you were bumping into people or anything. Like they're all just used to it, I guess. But
yeah.
I was like, I cannot deal with the amount of people knocking into me and not saying anything. And then the fact that I'm knocking into this many people, like I'm not okay with the situation.
Yeah, it was so crowded. We couldn't get into it, which was sad because I would have bought some stuff and would have liked to look at some stuff or at least get some people's like Instagram, you know, handle or something like that. But so, yeah, there's that. There were almost no Ida bags.
Yeah. So we saw a couple of people like. If you're here in the U.S., like a lot of people, especially women now, have the base bag, even if they're not using it in what would be considered a traditional Ida bag by the strictest of senses. So we just didn't see even that many like base bags. Nobody was selling them in the dealer's hall, which is completely mm-hmm. different than how it is here. And so then if you think about, okay, the few people who had base bags, were they even like using it properly? And I will say that me and Charles had some of the few like traditional Ida bags. Saw a couple of people with Hip Mic bags because Hip Mic had a very large presence, which some of the shows that like are popular in the U.S. are the same there. They were really heavily like promoting that time I got reincarnated as Slime, Hypnosis mm-hmm. Mic.
Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Yeah, Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer was huge.
It had maybe the most cosplay?
I think so, yeah, because I think in the dealer's area that we were in, maybe we weren't seeing as much of the cosplay. Mm-hmm. It did seem like there was less cosplay in general and less casual cosplay. Like you either basically went all out or you didn't cosplay at all. Whereas in America, you see people who they've got everything but the wig, or they closet cosplayed, or there's more like really easy things to wear, like sports cosplay. There was not really any of that, hardly. It was pretty much like either you're going to cosplay and it's going to be decently elaborate and wig included and everything, or you're just not going to at all. Which, to be fair, it is really hot and really humid. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like maybe the people who cosplayed like brought a suitcase, and that's because they had a bag check that people might be changing there. Because we saw mm-hmm. a lot of people like getting ready in the hall, like putting on their wig, because I just don't think people were wearing it out and about. Like we saw people in the mall area where the convention was, but not on the streets did we really see any people cosplaying.
Yeah. There was no signage, basically.
Yeah, no, you could not tell where anything was.
Yeah.
So, or if there was there, it was printed very small.
Yeah. Like,
what is this booth name? What's the number here? Where am I?
Yeah. As American con goers, we're looking for the signs for things.
Like you look up at the ceiling and like, yeah, there really wasn't, which that's also interesting. There were a couple of signs in like the atrium of the convention mm-hmm. center that had been bought out, but there wasn't a lot of like advertisement or sponsorship.
It wasn't like, you know, go here for the con, like go up, you know, or whatever. Because that's why we couldn't find where to get our stuff, because there was mm-hmm. a thing about ticketing, but it didn't, there was nothing that said pre-reg. And but I mean, it worked out fine. Like we said, it was very chill.
Yeah.
Not what worries do.
And a lot of the con culture seemed to be the same. Like we still saw people who had the Ahegao shirts. There were still a lot of people wearing like the kind of polyester printed like happy coats or mm-hmm. power
reading. Those were real popular.
A lot of the same meme t-shirts, like the whole like Nani the fuck, all of those type things. Even I saw somebody was selling stickers that said like okay boomer. Like English language anime fandom is for all intents and purposes the same no matter where you go.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And a ton of Chinese traditional costume and cosplay. Yeah. Which makes sense, being so close to China and there being a lot of Chinese people there, and probably people that came from China mm-hmm. for the convention. A lot of MXTX stuff, which I'm going to try to say, Mo Xiang Tong Xiu, which is the author of Mo Dao Zushi, etc. So there's a lot of good cosplay for that, and mm-hmm. and which is Baozi and Hana were cosplaying on day three. So
yeah, I think in the U.S., like sometimes people wear like fake kimono, or they'll wear like a yukata as like mm-hmm. a cute thing, because in the U.S. we have a lot of kimono vendors who go and they'll dress people up mm-hmm. and you can go buy the ensemble there and wear it, and that's like a thing. There wasn't really anybody selling hanfu, but it seemed like for some girls it was like mm-hmm. the cute thing to do is basically just to wear, like, it's an excuse to wear it where they probably couldn't beforehand, like, out.
So, yeah, and especially because Bowsy and Hana have done Hanfu before in their videos and photo shoots, and they were wearing it on day one.
And their fan base is, like, 90% Chinese.
Yes. So, that was another reason. Because some people were wearing the same series that he has worn before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was another thing that was a little bit different.
Yeah. So we ended up, so we, some of the merchandise that we bought, we got their photo books, we got some lucky draws that were some little cute chibi standees, got some postcards, got the t-shirt, and then we both got the lucky pack for the makeup.
Yes. Yeah, I got an eyeshadow palette and a lip color and an eyebrow pencil, and then I bought another lip color.
And you get, like, a blusher.
Yeah. So that was nice.
Yeah. So I'm on, like, I guess week one of my Taobao makeup, which I everything that I've always read, like everything that they always said on like 4chan or places is like, don't buy makeup from Taobao. But I tried to look up reviews like for their products, and not very many people have reviewed it, I guess, under Flower Nose on YouTube, which I don't know if YouTube's blocked in China. So
yeah, I think it is.
How do they put up their
videos? I think somebody uploads it for them.
Okay. Cause I was going to say, cause I wondered, cause I was going to look up to see if Facebook anybody else has done, too. That's true. Like reviews of Flower Nose stuff, but didn't really see anything. And every time I tried to Google, like, should I buy makeup from Taobao, like, is it safe to buy makeup from Taobao, couldn't really find anything. The general consensus was basically like, well, you just don't know what's in it, but they do have the ingredients listed. They're in Chinese, so we can get our friends who speak Chinese to maybe translate it. And I did watch one of the videos for the palette that we got, and they talked about, well, you know, people always ask us, like, is our makeup safe? And they said, well, it's like approved by whatever like the Chinese FDA is. I don't know if I trust the Chinese FDA, but my face hasn't broken out. I don't have immediate signs of cancer. So we'll see. I definitely am going to ask my friends who speak Chinese and can read it to like maybe help me just to make sure there's not like lead or something that is like a compound that I know should be banned or something. Like I'll have to just get them to like see if they could tell me if anything sticks out. I would imagine that hopefully the Chinese FDA also bans lead. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's not their individual products are approved, it's just the individual ingredients are improved. Yes. Is how cosmetics work. So
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So we had a good time.
Yes.
Bowsy and Hana, we love you. We'll never forget you. Don't worry.
I know, we're still be big fans. Please continue to, like, now I feel, because there was a year I bought a couple of their photo books, and then I took a year from, like, just stop buying, and now I'm like, no, I will continue to support them and everything that they do, because I want them to be happy, and, yeah, I'm definitely gonna, like, as long as my face stays the way it is now, no immediate, like, breakouts or anything, like, I'm interested to continue to like, try their makeup, because I like the quality, and stay with them as they transition to this new chapter of their lives.
We follow you on all your social media. I watch all of your YouTube videos. Thank you to your Singapore fan club for translating things for us. And congratulations on Flower Nose. We support you always.
And your anniversary.
Yeah, happy 8th anniversary. And I hope you get your dream wedding soon, wherever you have it. Think about Hawaii. Hawaii's nice.
Yeah.
That's America. I guess they're probably going to go to Taiwan. But Hawaii's nice too.
Yeah. There's nice venues in Dallas too, but
sure.
Yeah.
But if you want to go somewhere a little closer, might we suggest Hawaii?
Yes.
So thank you so much for everything. It was so nice to see you in Singapore.
Yes. Well worth the trip.
Yes, very worth it. You were so worth it. Everything we hoped and dreamed of.
Yeah.
So yes, thank you very much, and this has been our minisode.
Yes, thanks for listening.
Bye.
See ya.